Welcome into the Huddle Up Podcast. Today is Wednesday, April 10th. J.P. Shadrick, John Osier in Jacksonville from the Miller Electric Center in the Hyundai Studios. Bucky Brooks is out in Los Angeles, and we've got a lot to get to today. First of all, it's Josh Allen, and that's the big news coming out of Wednesday. Officially, the Jaguars have agreed to a multi-year deal with Josh Allen, the Jaguars' outside linebacker. Reportedly 5 years, $150 million, including $88 million guaranteed. Bucky, that bill came due when he put up the big numbers last year, and $30 million a year for Josh Allen.
Wow. The bag is big. And good for Josh Allen. He was forced to bet on himself. He had to play on a prove-it situation, and he absolutely proved it. 17 and a half sacks. He is a great player, but he's even more impressive in terms of how he is in and around the locker room. Great person, great character, great leadership abilities, has the work ethic that you want, and then you put the performance into production. This had to get done. I think it's a great sign that the Jaguars were able to get it done, so it's not a distraction as we head into the offseason program. Kudos to him. He made it happen. Kudos to management for being able to get it done.
Yeah, and my thought on these, Bucky, is always, you can't guarantee numbers moving forward, right? Like, especially sacks. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they can be circumstantial. Sometimes you don't get as many sacks because maybe a quarterback didn't run out of bounds when he ran out of bounds the year before. But to me, Josh is a safe signing, as safe as you can be when you're essentially risking $88 million guaranteed. And I'm wondering it. As an ex-personnel guy, he's been around GMs more than I have. I think GMs always liked a signing where they can put their head on the pillow the next night and not worry about the guy's work ethic, not worried about approach, not worried about what kind of player the guy is going to want to be just because he got paid. And to me, Josh feels like, I don't think Trent Baalke's going to worry that Josh Allen is going to lose his edge.
Yeah, no, I think that's a safe assessment because he's been wired the right way. He hasn't shown any signs of being a guy that would take time off, that he would be a slacker, or he would get complacent now that he has the money. I think if anything, it would push him to set bigger and better goals and dreams for himself and for the team. He understands what he has to do. He understands what the expectations would be, not only with him being a former first-round pick, but now being one of the top-paid players in the National Football League. The expectation is that he's going to be able to dominate. And whether that comes up in the numbers, it needs to show up each and every week in terms of just his presence. He has to be impactful in terms of creating opportunities for himself or for others to make plays. But that's what he's always done since he's been in Jacksonville.
But it's a new kind of pressure, Buck. I mean, it's before you're sort of going after it, betting on yourself. Now, sacks can come in bunches. Even Josh's came in bunches last year. I think he had three or four different games where he had two or three sacks. There can be droughts, and fans are going to be bothered by the droughts more. So there's definitely that element to me that, you definitely want to go ahead and sign the deal because it's good to have that $88 million. But it's a new kind of expectation. Now every game without a sack is what happened to Josh Allen. Even though football people sort of know what happened, but I think Josh can deal with that sort of thing, Bucky.
Yeah, no, it is a different. It's a different deal. It's a different set of expectations, different level of pressure, but. He just came through probably the most pressurized environment that he could be in, having to play last year under a prove-it deal, a prove-it situation where he had to get his money based on how he performed. He proved it. And so I think you increasingly become more comfortable in those situations when that happens. But you're right, John. Each and every week, everyone is going to go right to the box score, and they're going to look and see what he did in terms of what numbers did he put up, how many sacks did he have, how many tackles for loss, forced fumbles, big plays. He has to deliver. But that's okay. I think in a perfect world, when you have a team that has not only playoff aspirations, but title hopes, you have to have a handful of people that carry that kind of pressure. And so Josh Allen would be the one player on defense who has that. And Trevor Lawrence would be the one player on offense who has to carry those expectations.
Speaking of bags, maybe that'll come at some point down the line for the quarterback as well. This is the Huddle Up Podcast. Well, think about the road that Josh Allen has taken to get to this point from, you know, he was down in Alabama in high school for 3 years as a receiver, went back to New Jersey, finished his high school career there, and wasn't really recruited highly by colleges.
Three-star guy, I think.
Yeah, he was going to go to Monmouth, like an FCS school, and then Kentucky had some decommitments, and they got a sniff about him and decided to bring him to Lexington. Of course, he developed and grew into one of the great Kentucky defensive players of all time and a first-round pick, but not that long ago, he was just a lanky wide receiver as a sophomore and junior in high school. And just to see that road to now, John, for a guy that we all like and adore, he's great in the building, to see this actually come through to fruition is something special.
Yeah, and like you guys have both been around him, and probably a lot of people listening to this have been around him, because he's a guy who doesn't mind making himself accessible to fans when the opportunity is correct. Look, you don't pay a guy to be a good guy, but it certainly helps when you like guys in your franchise who, when you've paid them this kind of money, they walk in the building and you just sort of instinctively know, hey, that's one of the core guys. And you not only like him, you respect him. He's the kind of person you want to represent your franchise for many, many reasons. So, look, it's a good day. It's a happy day. Happier if you're Josh than for the rest of us. But, you know, Josh is buying, JP.
Yeah, I'm sure he is. I'm sure he's happy about that, Bucky. It's what it is. And, yeah, you need those. You know, we've had a over the history of this team, actually, not just recent history, first-round draft picks have not signed second deals. Mm-hmm. Well, this is a trend going the wrong way, and in that regard, this kind of bucks that. All right, Josh Allen was drafted here, different general manager got him in, but he is a cornerstone piece of a franchise. And for years, decades around here, the Jags have not been able to have those pillars of their franchise stick around.
Yeah, and I think it's maybe the Josh Allen signing will finally get rid of that quote unquote stigma. Mm-hmm. They didn't draft Evan Engram, but they paid Evan Engram.
Yeah.
It's not really, and I'm just thinking from the regime right now, which I would say Trent, Doug, and sort of the decision makers around him. It's not their fault they didn't draft Evan Engram. And then once they got him here, they paid him. They franchised Cam sort of on a prove it type thing and then paid him. So they've sort of gotten away from, or I shouldn't say away from that, but have more of a track record. I think they're going to pay Trevor at some point. Mm-hmm. So as much as this regime has been able to control that, I think they've put their money where their mouth is and said, hey, we're going to pay guys that merit being paid. For a long time, you know, with maybe the exception of Jalen Ramsey, there weren't that many guys who left where he said, oh, they should have paid him. They just really weren't very many guys. So now that they've gotten guys they should pay, they're doing it. And I would anticipate, you know, Trayvon Walker stays on the course that he's on last year, ascends. There's going to be more guys to pay. And I don't think they're going to have that stigma for much longer, if they even still have it, Bucky.
Yeah, no, I think this is a really good step in the right direction in terms of showing that they will retain their own guys.
And Devon Hamilton, by the way, got paid. So there's guys that they have paid, Buck.
Yeah, so this is not a thing where they won't open up the checkbook. It's about making sure that they're paying the right guys. And the next guy that we'll talk about being in line to be paid will be Trevor Lawrence. In some way, shape, or form, they're going to have to take care of the franchise quarterback. And as we're seeing with the Josh Allen thing, you can prolong it. But the only thing that happens when you prolong paying your top guys is it only becomes a bigger price tag. So it may frustrate some Jags fans, but they probably need to be on the front end of paying Trevor Lawrence than on the back end, because the number could be astronomical if you continue to wait on him.
It'd be pretty astronomical anyway.
Yeah, yes, relative to
yeah. But
they're all astronomical. Yeah.
Yeah, I think, like I say, that I think that's next to me. The the rookies obviously take care of themselves now with the rookie cap. The Josh thing felt like they were going to get it done this offseason, because in order to get a deal like Trevor Lawrence has done, the decks sort of have to be cleared, meaning you have to know a lot of your parameters with the cap. My guess is that may have been some of what it took Josh a while to get done, was they had to make sure that what they were paying Josh and the years when they were paying him made sense. The decks feel cleared now, Bucky. You know what I'm getting? I mean, and you've been inside more than I have, which is none. So maybe you can talk about that a little bit. Just sort of now it's about how to structure Trevor, and you sort of needed a lot of the other stuff to be done and in the books, right?
Yeah, so now that you have Josh Allen in the books, you know what the number is going to be. You know what the number is going to look like over the next few years. It makes it easier to kind of fit in Trevor Lawrence's deal, because what you have to do is figure out when does the money go to the big money for Trevor, because then you have to do some salary reductions in other areas to make sure that everyone is salary cap compliant and that you have enough balance on the spreadsheet to be able to, okay, who else do we need to pay coming down the line? What is going to happen, though, not only with Josh Allen's deal, but with Trevor Lawrence's deal in particular, the pressure then goes from the front office signing free agents to you have to start drafting well, because now the bulk of your new talent has to come from the draft. It can't come from outside sources, because you have homegrown players really commanding a ton of money, and that makes it hard to then go out in free agency and be major spenders. Your draft department, your scouting department has to really step up their games, because the team has to get younger, because younger is cheaper, and that allows you to build a team that has some balance with a handful of guys making top, top, top money.
And you feel like maybe this is the last year or two of being able to sort of get around that, right, Bucky? I mean, it's once Trevor signed, then you sort of locked into Josh and Trevor's numbers, and they'll balloon. I'm assuming they'll balloon 2026. So that's sort of the last. After that, it's going to be three or four guys getting paid and a lot of kids.
Yeah, so what you probably can do is, so with Trevor Lawrence, you do an extension. He's entering into his fourth year. Then there's the fifth year option. So you can make whatever that number is comparable to that. But 3 years from now, that third season, so you have this year, next year, and then the following year, that's when the number goes up. So you have 2 years to get done whatever you're going to get done with the expensive players, maybe on the perimeter, Christian Kirk and those guys. And then you have to reset and kind of recalibrate when not only Josh's big money is on the book, but when Trevor Lawrence's big number hits the book.
All right, we'll come back in a moment and look ahead to the NFL draft. The players are in the building next week as well. This is the Huddle Up Podcast. Welcome back to the Huddle Up Podcast. JP Shadrick, John Osier, and Bucky Brooks. And the 2024 NFL draft is almost here. The Jaguars will be on the clock at 17, unless they make a move somewhere else. Unless they're somewhere else. Join us at the bank, though, Thursday, April 25th. It's the official Duval Draft Party presented by Donovan Air Electric and Plumbing. The party starts at 7 o'clock. Tickets are free. Register today. Jaguars.com/draft party. So the players are back in the building next week. Phase one, off-season program, Bucky, Monday, the 15th. Strength and conditioning can begin. A couple of weeks of that. And then, of course, we get on a little later into the on-field workouts and OTAs and things, but we'll begin having a little more action around here, it feels like, early next week. And we're only a couple weeks out now from that draft. So what is your latest at number 17, Bucky? I don't know if there's an official new mock out yet this week or not.
You haven't checked the crawler lately?
I can't remember what edition is the latest, but I think Terrion Arnold was the guy that I had slotted to go to the Jaguars. And the reason why he would fit is just because of the versatility that he brings to the position. He's a guy that can play outside, but he also can go inside. We talked about the nickel position. We talked about that on last week's pod, where we just talked about how different flavors of nickel, big nickel, little nickel, cover nickel, rundown nickel, all of those things can come into play. But Terry Arnold has done that. He's done that comfortably at Alabama. He has played some of the star position for Nick Saban while also being outside. Great personality, high IQ, just kind of gets it in a major way. He's a really good prospect. He would certainly be a good pick and good fit if he's available at 17.
How surprised would you be at this point, Bucky, if it's not corner there? I mean, I guess I've been talking corner at that spot for so long that I've talked myself into saying I'd be stunned. You know, I'd be fine with offensive line because I think anytime you add premier linemen, you're bettering your team. I'd be fine with defensive line for the same reason. But I just look at the depth chart. I would just be stunned if it's not a corner at this point. It feels like a need year. I don't know that that's ideal philosophically, but that's what it feels like.
Yeah, even if we cast aside the needs, there'd be players that line up to being available at that pick. When you look at the money that they've committed to the D line, it's hard to say that, hey, we commit money to Eric Armstead. We just redid Josh Allen. We spent a first-round pick on Trayvon Walker. Oh, guess what? We need to go back in the draft and get another one. That would be a hard sell when you think about building the team.
Man, you've got Devon line, and Roy who make money too.
Yeah, I mean, like, there's a lot of money right there in the trenches. So I can't imagine that you go there. You look at, people are talking about wide receiver, but do you really need to spend a first round pick on a wide receiver? Or can you get one in the second and third? To me, all signs point to a cornerback, a defensive back being taken off the board there. I think there are options that are going to be available. We just talked about Terry Arnold. There'd be some conversation about a guy like Cooper DeJean, if he's available, the kid from Iowa, who is also a multifaceted, multidimensional player who's played a bunch of different spots. He could be a guy that can play outside and inside and do a bunch of things. Nate Wiggins will get some consideration, little thinner than you like, 173, 175 pounds, but the skill set stands out. He can play press. He can play off, really versatile in what he does. Kool-Aid McKinstry, obviously played at Alabama, played opposite Terry Arnold. He was really the cast meow. Arnold emerged and kind of took some of his shine, but another really good player. So they're cornerbacks that are available for them. I can't wait to kind of pick the brain of the defensive coaches to kind of see how they stacked them and why they were stacked in a certain way. We'll know their commitment to playing bump and run and press man by the direction in which they go the first night of draft.
All right, so we're closing in. 2 weeks away. I'm sure we'll ask you again next week, Bucky. And see if
why not?
Who you got?
It's always an opportunity to mock. You know, got a new mock coming out sometime. Let's see when new mock's coming out. When is new mock coming out? Monday, April 22nd. New mock. Mock 4.0.
Draft week. Okay.
4.0.
Mm-hmm. Can't go wrong.
Love that. Always. Bucky, well done, as always. Have a great week. We'll talk to you again next week. And congratulations again to Josh Allen.
Yeah, man, great for him. Like, man, you love to see good things happen to great people, and he's one of the best. And so I'm really excited for him and his family. He cashes in on the bet that he had to make on himself. Worked out for him.
Yeah, good for him. Good day.
John, how do you like your steak? He's buying, right?
Oh, I like it expensive. He's buying.
That sounds like a cowboy, tomahawk, whatever that thing that's at the bottom of the menu that I never let my eyes go towards. It sounds like that. And look, John, I think if you had that opportunity, I think you just yell in the middle of the restaurant, "Steaks for everybody."
Yeah.
On 41.
That's right.
I'm ordering steak with a steak side.
What's the old steak on steak?
A side of steak.
The old saying is champions eat crumbs. Well, not tonight.
Champions eat steak with a steak side and a steak app.
Bucky Brooks, John Osier, I'm JP Shadrick. Our thanks to Brent Reber and Joe Fortunato. And thanks to you for listening to the Huddle Up Podcast.